It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, Quentin time on your Friday. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is here, 5 o'clock on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, the Bear, we've got Tanner Carson back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, keeping us rolling here this afternoon. Get back to this Ricker Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question in just a minute. First, though, your top five at five, and number one story this afternoon, Randy Boyd approved as the permanent president of the UT system. He had been the interim president since November of 2018, originally agreeing to stay in the role for 1 or 2 years. Obviously, it's been about a year and a half, so they give him the job on a more permanent basis now, as he is committed through 2025. Number two, Tennessee gets a commitment in basketball today. Sacred Heart transfer E.J. Anasicki verbally committing to Tennessee earlier this afternoon. Of course, his older sister, Nikki, played for Tennessee's women's program from 2004 to 2008, helping Tennessee win a pair of national championships. 6'7", 240 pounds, chooses Tennessee over Georgia, Louisville, Wake Forest, Boston College, Gonzaga, and Georgetown. He averaged 15.7 points and 11.6 rebounds per game as the conference's leading rebounder for the Northeastern Conference last season. Number three, Rudy Gobert cleared for the Utah Jazz. Of course, he and Donovan Mitchell had been tested positive for the coronavirus a couple weeks ago. So 2 weeks later, those guys are cleared. Good news for the Utah Jazz. Number four, ESPN NBA analyst Doris Burke also receiving a positive diagnosis for COVID-19. She is symptom-free for more than 2 weeks after her initial concerns of the illness, but she did test positive, so hopefully she makes a full and complete recovery. And then number five here, very sad news out of North Carolina, where Davis Love III, two-time U.S. Ryder Cup captain and major championship winner, confirming that his house, actually this is in St. Simons Island, Georgia, burned down, completely lost to a fire earlier this morning. Thankfully, there were no injuries. Davis Love and his wife, Robin, were at home when the fire started, but were able to escape without injuries. And I'm looking at a picture, and you can imagine what Davis Love III's house, what his beach house looks like. I mean, this is a huge structure, and it is just engulfed in a fiery inferno. So,
yeah, it burned down to the ground.
Yeah, hope they were able to get out all right, and hopefully they have good insurance on that property. There's your top five at five. All right, guys, you have had plenty of time during the break. I ask you to contemplate the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Your top five Tennessee games, any sport, you don't have to have attended them, just your five favorite Tennessee memories. Now, I posted mine earlier on Twitter. I think I'm going to have to make one slight adjustment. My number one memory is the 95 Alabama game, 41-14. Tennessee wins, breaking a 9-year losing streak to Alabama. I know Tennessee's won bigger games. I know they've won championship games and things like that. For me personally, just on an emotional level, it doesn't get any better than that. But if it did, it would be my number two game, the Miracle at South Bend. 1991, Notre Dame. On the road, a cold day up in Indiana, Tennessee trailed 31-7. It looked like all hope was lost. Bear, we were bent over a barrel. We could see all 50 states. Lou Holtz, Rick Meyer, the bus. We were doing the job, man. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. We come back and win that game. Number three, I'm going the 98 Florida game. Again, a streak buster. Pandemonium reigned, got to run out on the field. It was unbelievable and a key moment in Tennessee's national championship run. Number four, I'm going the Florida State national championship game for obvious reasons. And number five, I had said on Twitter, I had to work in a basketball one, and I went with the beating Ohio State in the Sweet 16 in 2010, because that was the furthest we'd ever been in the NCAA tournament. But I just blanked on this, and I'm going to amend that. That is a great memory. But for me, if I have to choose a basketball memory, it was that night in 2008 in Memphis in FedEx Forum, when for a brief shining moment, we took down the monster. We slayed the dragon in their cave. And for about 72 hours, we were on top of the college basketball universe, ranked number one. To me, that's my favorite moment, and I'll put that at number five. Bear, I know I'm guessing we'll have some overlap. I'm sure some of my favorite memories are your favorite memories. Is there what does your list look like?
Number one would be the 98 National Championship game, 99, rather. Okay. Number two, probably the 85 Sugar Bowl. Number three would be the Memphis game in 08. Number four would be the 85 Auburn game.
Oh, wow. Good one.
And then number five would probably be the, I can't remember the exact year off the top of my head, when Jamal Lewis ran wild on Georgia and stomped Kirby's face then.
97 Georgia game?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Some good ones. Good ones. 865-546-8200. Would love to hear your lists or maybe some honorable mentions if we're missing any. Tanner Carson's back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. He's been helping us out the past couple of days, doing a wonderful job keeping us on the air. You know him well from Overtime. And Tanner, you're a little bit younger than the Bear and I. Is there any overlap between our two lists or anything that you hold in higher esteem and higher regard than we do?
There might be some overlap a little bit here. I'm going to go from five to one here, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Russ, because I am a little bit younger. So even though I consider myself like I grew up trying to be like a little bit of like a Tennessee football historian as a kid, and so like I've watched the Decade of Dominance DVD over and over again. I've watched the Greatest Plays DVD over and over again. So obviously, if I had to rank like all time games, I would have to put games and memories that happened either before I was born or when I was alive, but I wasn't able to actually experience it. So I only put the five that I was able to experience. So number five for me, this is one neither of y'all mentioned, but I think it was so big at the time, and I had such a fun aftermath when this game ended. That's the 2018 basketball win at Rupp Arena, the first one in 12 years. Really like that one.
The okay. Lamonte Turner nail in the car.
Yes.
You were at that game?
No, I wasn't at that game.
Oh.
I wish. I okay. wish.
Yeah.
So that's number five for me. Number four, like you all, I wanted to work some basketball ones in, so this is going to be my second and final basketball one. You already mentioned it, Russ, even though you kind of amended it a little bit. It's that 2010 Sweet 16 win over Ohio State. J.P. Prince putting up the big palm, the big hand of God, and just blocking Evan Turner at the very end of that game, sending us to the Elite Eight for the first time. It was absolutely fantastic.
I love the way – like when you watch that play in real time, I think we all thought Prince fouled him, and the way Turner was whining about it, trying to lobby for the call, and then you go back and you watch the replay, and you just see that just huge left hand, I think it was his left hand, of J.P. Prince just all ball, just swatting it away. Oh, thing of beauty.
And then Scottie Hobson couldn't hit his damn free throws next game. But moving on. Moving on here. Number three. And this might be higher for some people, especially around my age, just because over this last decade, I mean, it's got to be the number one highlight. It's one of the number one highlights of all time in Tennessee football. But only number three for me, it is the Dobnell boot is the Hail Mary Juwan Jennings in Athens in 2016.
Yeah, that's a good one. And a lot of people are putting that one up there. I have some more comments on that one and a couple of others, but go ahead and finish your list for me.
All right. Number two, this is going to be one completely out of nowhere, but this was the first one that I was actually at. Literally no one else is going to have this on their top five like at all, but it's number two for me because it was the first game I ever attended at Neyland Stadium. It's the 2003 Vanderbilt game. It was senior day in 2003. Casey Clawson was my first favorite Tennessee football player. He's the first player I can really remember as a kid, and my first Tennessee football game was his senior day. Beat the living crap out of Vanderbilt. I do believe Chris Jones, I do believe was his name. He had like a big punt return. He had a few other touchdowns, I do believe. Stomped Vanderbilt 48-0. I know it's kind of like a game that no one remembers, but it's always going to hold a special place in my heart.
You're talking about Mark Jones, who played
Mark Jones. Yes, yes. I knew it was a Jones.
Yeah. Yes. No, he was good, man.
All
great
right.
athlete.
Number one for me, a game that I was at. I'm so fortunate I was there, breaking the streak against Florida in the comeback in 2016. One of the funnest moments of my entire life.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that one. That was a cathartic moment for Tennessee fans, no doubt, in 2016. All right, there's Tanner's, 865-546-8200. So I heard a lot of people on Twitter going with the Dobnell boot. A lot of people bringing up the 0-1 Florida game in the swamp. And
yeah, that was a good one. Remember,
me,
you know, that one broke. I mean, that was such a depressing time, you know, after the towers fell. And,
yeah.
And you know, little did we know that we had 20 years of war coming up for us. But that was a fun night down there.
Yeah.
Did you go to that?
No. For me, though, Bear, like, the thing about that game and the Dobnell boot game is what happened after those games, to me, tarnishes those games a little bit. Not completely. The beating Georgia the Hail Mary was still a great moment, man. I still love to watch that replay. But when I do... And maybe this is just a personal problem and I dwell on the negative too much, but I always think about what happened after that and the way botched things against South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and we didn't have the season we should have had. And I always think about the 0-1 game and the way, yeah, we won at Florida, and that is a good memory, but the next week was probably the worst memory in Tennessee football history as far as my fan life goes, was blowing that SEC championship game against LSU and missing out on a chance to play for another national championship. So, like that.
Yeah, but by the same token, then, Russ, you know, me and you both have the 08 Memphis game. And 72
yeah.
hours later, we walked out there at Memorial Gym and just, you know, pulled our pants down and bent over and took it.
Well, I guess that's certainly true. With Butch. The 2016 game is a little bit easier for me to not have in such high esteem because, like, we still loved Pearl, you know, even though I don't blame losing to Vanderbilt in 2008 because we were unprepared, because Bruce Pearl was an idiot, or because our players weren't ready. It's just one of those things, a rivalry game. They were a good team that year. Shane Foster went off on us, and it happens, man, playing in that crazy gym. Like, it sucks, but it happened, and we still had a good program. That 2016 losing to, like, you know, that was a turning point for Butch. When he couldn't get it done then, like, the writing was on the wall. He was done.
Yeah, I mean, that was we probably, looking back on it, you know, probably should have let him go at the end of that year instead of, you know, completely killing it the next year.
Get some phone calls in here. Jamie is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Yeah, who would have known Butch was sucking at that time? Anywho, guys, great topic, man. You know, you talk about, Russ and Barry talk about having the 08 basketball game and, kind of comparing it to Russ, you saying, what happened on the back end of some of those football losses. But with that 08 Memphis game, we had taken such a giant leap, to get to number one. I was all right, losing to Vanderbilt next Monday wasn't as painful because of the mountaintop that we had just, think about how much we passed to get to number one. We passed 4-3-2-1. I mean, we hadn't been ranked that high, until Pearl came rolling out, but just kind of compare the two between the football and basketball. We're used to playing for championships, or at least we used to be. So, I could see getting a little bit more upset about, losing to LSU the following week after the 0-1 Florida game than I can losing to Vanderbilt in 08 after the Memphis game. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about, I guess, your overall direction of the program at the time of the game.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's some interesting games, man. You guys are bringing up a lot. Here's something that Barry, you hate Georgia. What about the 92 Georgia game? Heath Shuler's coming out party down there in between the hedges.
That was an exciting day for me. I'm not gonna lie.
Me neither. Having to convert the 4th and 14 with Ronald Davis.
Yeah, it's so hard to pick between every victory over Georgia is so sweet that it's hard to pick. And my favorite one is the 97 game when Jamal had his coming out party and literally, stole Kirby Smart's soul about the 45 yard line.
The 96 Georgia game, I think that was the one where Peyton Manning went to sneak to get a first down and was pushed back and rolled out and hit Nash in the end zone.
Great memory.
Great memories. Guys, I want to editorialize on all of these, but I'll try to be quick and get out of the way because you got me excited. The 90 Florida game kind of, Spurrier was down there in Florida doing stuff that Florida's never done. And I think it was 7-3 at halftime, and then the floodgates opened with Dale Carter returning the kick. He shouldn't have returned. 45-3, I believe, was the final, highlighted by the Von Reeves touchdown pass.
That was an incredible night. That night,
wasn't it?
The atmosphere, that's probably the most fun I've ever had at a UT game was that night. Was 90.
Wasn't it, though? Nighttime playing Spurrier, I believe Tennessee, riding that high. I think we just come off of the SEC championship the year before, getting ready to win another one. Yeah. Let's see, the 82 Bama game, of course, the Tennessee-Memphis 08 basketball game, any of the Tennessee-Florida basketball games, whenever they were in the middle of winning national championships, we were in the middle of sweeping them. Those were always fun. Guys, the 93 Tennessee-Vanderbilt game, it's a ho-hum game, but it's the last game on artificial turf. And if you ever pull out that grainy video, you'll see me in a J. Crew green corduroy taking the last ball ever kicked through uprights on artificial turf and bringing it to the house where I still have it today.
Wow.
Yeah. Guys, the cops that usually line the tunnels and stuff towards the end of the game, do you know where they were for that one? They're down there protecting the turf that Tennessee had already said they were going to cut up and sell.
So you caught the ball and just took off with it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I'd been up there before. I didn't think we were going to score anymore, but I believe Nilo Sylvan returned a punt for a touchdown. It was spitting rain. And the first time I tried to catch the extra point, it was nowhere near me. And then the next time when Nilo scored, I couldn't believe it. It shot right up through me. Almost went through my hands. But I snatched it. It was me and another guy, a buddy of mine I'm still friends with today. And he was telling me, if we get it, we're going. And I told him, I said, I've got it. Let's go. He couldn't believe it. We both ran out of there with it. I still have the ball to this day.
Hey, Nilo Sylvan, one of the great names all-time names in Tennessee football history. Nyla.
Exactly. And underrated as hell. Guys, I'll try to be quick. I got one more, and I'll throw it at you, and I'll get out of the way. The 95 Citrus Bowl against the Biletnikoff winner, the Heisman Trophy winner, Outland Trophy winner, the Big Ten Quarterback of the Year and Bobby Hoying, Orlando Pace. I believe one Tennessee Titans head coach might have even been on that squad. I think that put Tennessee and Philip Fulmer, you know, we'd had the bad 94 year, you know, having the quarterbacks get hurt earlier in the year and Manning and Stewart, you know, trying to get us through that year. You know, we ended up with a Virginia Tech Bowl win, but nobody really knew. In 95, I think we went 11-1. I think it catapulted Fulmer and Tennessee back, you know, to that spot that he pretty much held for the next 6 or 7 years. But, man, good stuff, man. And you know, like always, y'all, I appreciate y'all being in there. Good topic, man. I hope for some more. Y'all hanging out. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jamie. Bear, how amazing was it to hear? Did you hear that? The childlike wonder and just awe and joy and enthusiasm in Jamie's voice just completely melting away the layers of cynicism that he's known for. How beautiful was
bitterness.
That?
Bitterness. Yeah, I mean, this has actually been a pretty good week for Jamie. We've had his all-time favorite coach, Coach Pearl, on. We had, I'm sure, you know, one of his top, if not his favorite basketball player all time at Tennessee. Got to be near the top, and Chris Lofton, and then yeah, and Bobby Mays, and you know, I've talked to Jamie before off the air, and he's a huge Burke fan, so it's been a good week for Jamie. But yeah, and the one that the Ohio State game is a great one. He's got a really good point, because that was the game where he's exactly right. The national media and folks started, that was a statement game for Tennessee, that they had arrived officially and would bow down to nobody.
Stay with us. Now, the drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
Jam. Saw these guys back in the day.
Faith No More.
Yeah, that guy, his other band is nuts. Mike Patton. You remember Mr. Bungle?
Yeah. What an iconic music video. Epic by Faith No More. You remember that, Bear?
Oh yeah. With the fish flopping.
It was like the piano exploded, and then like the fish is just flopping there on the ground at the end.
Yeah, Jim Martin and the boys. Jim Martin, underrated guitar player, dude. Underrated.
Was it there? There's like a hand with an eyeball in it or something.
Yeah, he got freaky. Got weird. I remember when that record dropped. That was a good one.
All right, let's run through some of these King of the Vols matchups that are going on right now. Al Wilson's running away from Dale Ellis, as we predicted, 82% to 18%. Bernard
King.
That
wasn't even fair to Dale.
That's the Sweet 16, man. You got tough matchups. Like, we got a lot of great athletes in our tradition. Bernard King's running away from Casey Clawson with about 80% to 20% there. Peyton Manning versus Grant Williams. You got to go with Peyton, right?
Yeah.
It's not even.
I love Grant, but, I mean, yeah, there's only one sheriff.
92% to 8% there.
Whoo! Even Grant's voting for Peyton if you asked him, I guarantee you.
I would love to hear one of the 8% who voted for Grant, just to hear their logic, right?
Oh, man, they're, you know, probably basketball dead-enders, and I would be willing to bet they're under 30.
Or Patriots fans.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Peyton and the final matchup, the final Sweet 16 matchup, with the Elite Eight scheduled to tip off tomorrow, 2-seed Todd Helton versus 3-seed Heath Shuler.
Oof.
Oh. Oh, man.
I already placed my vote.
Who'd you vote for?
Helton.
I'm just staring at it.
Vote for Helton, man. Todd Helton was a freak. I mean, I watched him. He batted 900 his senior year in high school over at Central. If he had concentrated on football, he would have, you know, it would have been really hard for Peyton to see the field until Todd got done. And then, you know, we all know what he did in the majors. And if he had played in any other market, probably other than Colorado, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer in Cooperstown. So, I mean, he's one of the best that's ever put on the orange over there.
All right, you talked me into it. I'll cast my vote for Helton. He's leading Shuler 56% to 44%. This just went live 13 minutes ago, so only 134 votes cast. It's still too close to call, but we'll just assume for a minute. Actually, let's not assume anything. I don't want to influence the voting one way or another.
Okay.
So it'll be Peyton versus Al Wilson.
Which is just... That's going to be where it's going to, you know, the internet might melt down over that one, Russ.
Who are you voting for?
Who am I voting for?
Yeah.
In that one?
Yeah.
I'm ride till I die with my guy, Al Wilson.
Oh, wow. I knew it. I knew it.
I mean... He's the best football player that's ever played at Tennessee.
The West region is going to be who is winning, but the Lofton versus Holloway. It was Lofton, right?
Number five was by a wide margin. Last time I looked at it.
So it's going to be Shamiqua versus Lofton.
Give me a break. Shamiqua's had an easy ride into the Elite Eight. Yeah, see what she does now. She's going to get crushed by my guy.
Eric Berry against Reggie White.
That's a hell of a matchup. I'm voting Berry, but, you know, I know that Reggie gets a sentimental vote. He was great. My deal with Reggie is he only had one good year here.
I'm voting Reggie. And then in the East Region Final, Johnson City, it'll be Bernard King against either Heath Shuler or Todd Helton.
I mean, to me, Bernard deserves to be in the finals against either Al Wilson or Peyton Manning, whoever wins that matchup. I'm already getting some pretty serious pushback from my phone's exploding right now with my take on Al Wilson over Peyton. So. The Peyton sheep out in South Knoxville are pretty pissed.
Bear, do you have carpenter bee issues at your house at the bear den?
No, Do it at my other job, we do.
I got so many carpenter bees around my deck right now. It just fills me with so much anxiety, man.
You can make these traps that'll kill them. Do not spray pesticides for them, Russ. Because pesticides that kill carpenter bees also kill honeybees. And if we don't have any bees, you think this coronavirus is bad?
Okay, whatever, Mr. Environment. Like, just get to your point. What's your point?
That, by all means, yeah, they're invasive, and you definitely want to get rid of them. I'm just asking you not to set off a chemical bomb that's going to kill the carpenter bees and the honeybees, which we need to sustain life here on the planet. Would be my recommendation.
You know what my dad used to do at his house?
What's that?
He probably still does that. Two things. He used to walk around like we had like a badminton set, and he would walk around with like a badminton racket and just swat them outside.
Oh, yeah. I got a buddy that does that. Big Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also had a BB gun, and he would like walk around and shoot at the bees with the BB gun.
What?
You like a little Red Rider, whatever, you know, what was it? The Red Rider Daisy rifle, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dad had one of those, and he'd walk around the house and shoot at the bees.
Sure, it made your mom happy. Did he ever hit any?
I don't know. Yeah, mom did not approve.
Yeah, no, I don't imagine she did.
But, I mean, think how good a shot you'd have to be to hit, like, you know how bees, like, jerk around, how herky-jerky they are and how small they are.
Well, yeah, their eyes are crazy. They can see stuff coming that, I mean, they don't see the way other animals see. That's how they move so quick. And they're hard to kill. Unless you get a good tennis racket or a badminton racket's the way to go, though.
We got to take a quick break right here. When we continue, we'll get Hayden Wallen in to look ahead as the Crown Cleaners, King of the Vols bracket, heads into the Elite Eight weekend. We'll have the final four set for you Monday here on The Drive. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this on Fan Run Radio. Get back to the phones here about that Qdoba ad. Obviously, they are closed for dine-in, but they still have takeout that you can go and get there if you want to patronize a fan-run sponsor this weekend. They're doing a wonderful job. And Rickard Rich Barbecue hours this week, this weekend, 11 to 7 for takeout, obviously. And then Sunday, they'll be open from 11 till 2 p.m. They're online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Let's bring in Hayden Wallen, who is managing everything with the Crown Cleaners, greatest ball of them all, bracket this afternoon. Hayden, good afternoon. How are you, man?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing all right, buddy. So everything going according to plan. A couple of upsets in the bracket here, but what jumps out to you this afternoon?
I really did think that Barry and Majors will be closer yesterday. So that's a 5-seed magnet to the Elite Eight. And then also Al Wilson just pretty much destroying Dale Ellis so far. It's pretty surprising.
Do you think that Eric Barry, just because he's so recent a player and so beloved by so many of our fans, particularly our younger fans, do you think that he might beat Richie White, who, I mean, you young guys think I'm old, and I didn't see Richie White play here. I saw him play in the pros, obviously, but, you know, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he could have a chance if Reggie White hadn't been destroying everyone so far. Like, he beat Ernie G yesterday 94.5 to 5.5%. Just not even close. So I think Reggie White will be in the Final Four. Pretty easily.
An East Tennessean against a Georgia kid. I don't know. Barrett, what do you think, man? You think Eric Berry can make it to the Final Four?
I mean, if he's up against anybody else, I would say there's a possibility just because of how beloved he is. But and that's what's wild. I mean, I actually saw Reggie play when he was at UT. He had a great game. It was his last year here, but I mean, most people, he's remembered more for just being completely dominant in the NFL forever. So, and then, you know, I mean, he's just his personality, and I mean, that's a tough matchup, Barry and White. So,
what do you think, Hayden, of Peyton Manning versus Al Wilson? How are you going to vote for that as a younger fan?
I probably have to go Manning just solely based off the pro career, in my opinion. I know Al had some injury problems that kind of hindered his pro career, but I'm just going to have to go with Manning on that. Plus, I saw Manning play more than Al, obviously.
Hayden Wallen with us here this afternoon. And then I guess the other one that's going to be interesting is Shamiqua Holmesclaw versus Chris Lofton. I don't know. I have no idea how the voting is going to unfold in that one. Do you guys?
I'll be stunned if Chris doesn't slide on into the Final Four on that one.
Yeah, that's, I agree with that. I think Lofton will win pretty by, I would say, 60-40, somewhere around there.
People forget about Holtzclaw. She was a transformational talent. Like, you know, there, aside from Cheryl Miller, up until that time, there had been no, like, women's players that you were, like, blown away by the size and athleticism. It was just a different game. And she was the first one to come through there where you're like, oh, man, like, she could play with the dudes, you know? And then
right.
I guess Candace Parker would probably be the other one that we've had like that. But she was the first just unbelievable physical talent that we had. I mean, we had some good players. Bridget Gordon jumps to mind, but I don't think she was on Shamiqua's level physically, athletically. So that'll be interesting. And then it looks like Helton, it's going to be close, but he's got an early lead over Shuler against Bernard King. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Bernard King is going to win that one. Anybody disagree?
Nope.
No.
So it could be Bernard King. Well, he's the only one that we're penciling into the Final Four right now, correct?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you mean, probably?
You also wanted to respond to the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question. Your five favorite Tennessee athletics memories.
Yeah, I'm a little younger, like Tanner said, so these are all going to be in the last decade, I would say. Yeah, I've got them down here. So one was Tennessee breaking the streak against Florida. Two was the Dobbs Hail Mary. Three was the 2014 Dobbs two-minute drill at South Carolina, because I was there for that. We scored 14 points in like 2 minutes and 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Cold night down there.
What?
It was a cold night in Columbia.
Oh, yeah. I was on the upper deck, too. It was absolutely freezing. But four is the 2020 Gator Bowl, and five would be the SEC tournament game they played earlier today from last year.
You know, Bear, I just, like, these young kids, I call them kids. Hayden, he's a young man. They impress me, man, like, to be able to stick it out. They've no idea how much fun it is when Tennessee is not just a flash in the pan, like, oh, we were 5-0 and in the top 10 for a minute, but, like, you know, multiple 10-win, you know, double-digit win seasons, top 10 finishes, and just – like the off-season anticipation that there used to be in the 90s of we thought we could win it every single year, man. It's just it's so much different, and I hope we get back to that someday. But it's amazing to me that Tennessee has been able to sustain its fan base given how bad we've sucked the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's listening to that pitiful, you know, I'm not saying he's pitiful, the list is pitiful, it's just, these young guys, we talk about it and talk about it. They've got nothing to pick from. So, it's...
I hope that changes. I hope that changes. Hayden, again, man, you've done a great job, you and John, putting this thing together. Anything else you want to add before we let you go begin with your weekend festivity? I mean, what do you young guys do? I mean, you're usually... like a weekend with Hayden Wallen and the boys, you're probably going out for beers, partying, chasing girls, whatever it is you crazy kids do. And now you're under quarantine. What are you going to do this weekend, buddy?
I don't know. I might just hang out outside. I might shoot some basketball here by myself.
That's
might
so
open
sad.
Up my pool or something.
That's so sad, and you know? Especially because I've seen your jump shot. I mean, that I feel lunch coming up just thinking about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to preview these four games this weekend before I go. Tomorrow we'll have the Memphis final between Holtz Claw and Lofton, and the Chattanooga final between Berry and Reggie White. And then on Sunday, we're going to have the Nashville final, which will be Wilson versus Manning, and the John City final, which will be Bernard King versus either Heath Shuler or Todd Helton.
Wow. All right.
And then we'll be at the final four next week.
Be sure to log on this weekend to vote in the Elite Eight matchups for the Crown Cleaners King of the Vols bracket. Hayden Wallen, thanks, man. Be good this weekend.
You too. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. Stay with us. The drive continues. Coming up, the shocking conclusion. We're going to check in with D.R. Vol out in the West Mid-State region. Get his thoughts as he's, you know, working in the medical community. And we'll see what's going on out there. More of your phone calls as well. Get set to wrap things up. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up the drive this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Tanner Carson cruising with you here on beautiful Friday afternoon / evening. Y'all get out, enjoy some of this weather in your neighborhoods, but do it safely, a little social distancing. Remember, we're all in this together as we get set to wrap up the show this afternoon. Let's go talk to D.R. Vol. Good afternoon, D.R. Vol.
Good afternoon, guys. Has nobody said the Memphis-Tennessee game? Because that's my number one.
Of 08?
Yeah.
The basketball game?
Yeah, no, we both said it.
Yeah, I put I switched. I originally had the elite or the Sweet 16 win over Ohio State in mind. I just blanked on that one. I put that one instead.
See, that's in my five too. Because wasn't that the year they had Evan Turner? That was supposed to be a bit, you know, big deal, and we got there and beat him. I think that's the year we beat him.
Yeah, 2010.
Yeah. And then I'd probably go. This won't make anybody's list. I definitely go to the 13 South Carolina game. That was the first game I went after my brother passed away, and that was actually that was when Worley threw it deep to with all he had to Marquez North, set up a field goal.
Yeah, I mean I still don't know how we won that game, but that was a huge win, no doubt.
Oh yeah, and then of course I put the bowl game this year because took my kids to it. That was a tale of two halves, to say the least.
Yeah, and they're getting set to show that game later tonight, I think around 7. So that actually works out good for me because I like to get out and I'm going to go chase the kids around the yard here in a little bit and have some dinner. And then by the time I come in, about 8:30 or 9 or so, I'll be able to flip that on and watch the good part of that game.
Yeah, I've got that recorded still because they actually showed me and my daughter on ESPN. My phone had died and in the fourth quarter, and got it turned back on. They said they saw me and my daughter on there. So I've always kept that. I'm definitely going to watch that.
Very cool.
So I wasn't listening for about an hour there. We were outside. So I don't know if Westchester had that question. Did you address that, Russ?
Oh, about
how long it lives on fabric and
– Yeah, what to do when you're out and about.
Yeah, so my friend that I refer to as a respiratory therapist, what he said he's having to do, what they've told him to do, is when he gets home, strip naked outside, and of course, yeah, don't have a garage, that's got to suck, but strip down, leave your shoes outside and lost all them down. So it's got to help some, because it does stay in contact. I don't remember all the actual numbers. The only one I remember being strange was it lives on cardboard for 24 hours. And then they told my aunt, she's got a cleaning company, she cleans clinics, and they're actually making her come twice a day at lunch and end of the day to clean, and they're making her do the same thing and bring a different pair of shoes for the second part of the day.
So it could live on your shoes for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you think when you walk, I mean, what you're stepping on, you're going to Walmart, but yeah, I mean, it can easily be on your shoes if it's your clothes. Which, I mean, that's something, you know, with the clinic and hospitals, every time I work, I don't ever come inside with the shoes. I have shoes separately just for the clinic, and I don't go inside with them.
Yeah, my shoes that I've been wearing out since this all started, they've been in the garage over in the corner.
Yeah.
They won't come back in my house. So
yeah, and that's where they need to stay. I mean, because, you know, stuff like that, and you have to kind of think outside the box where these germs are going to be. You know, they were talking about it being on the gas pump. Of course, I saw a picture of some woman digging down her backside and then grabbing it. So you can imagine the germs on the gas handle.
Wow. What's the procedure for, like, how, because I got to go get some gas at some point this weekend. What should I just, like, wear gloves or spray it down, wipe it down? What do I do?
You can do it. I've done both. I'm actually out and about right now, not going anywhere, but I got a big bottle of Lysol. But when I get gas, I spray it down and use a glove. Or if you've got, like, wipes, just grab it with that. Which, that's going to change me forever, getting gas, even if it's said and done. I mean, I never thought about how disgusting that is.
I have.
Yeah. Not good. Not good, Dr. Vol. Okay, so, just be careful. Wash your clothes, spray Lysol on your shoes, grab the gas pump with a wet wipe. But other than that, live life as normal, right?
Yeah. Other than that, just I think we're all going to be germaphobes after this.
Maybe that's a good
thing. I already was. People are still having a hard time. I've been out a few times where I've just had to go out and get a couple of things, and I'm amazed that people are still not understanding the whole distance thing.
No, they don't, because some people are still taking it lightly. Like, I had a conversation last night on the phone, and it caused me to have a few beers, as Judge Kavanaugh says, but he really believed this would be over with in 2 weeks. And I said, you know, the peak is coming in May. I mean, it's not going to be over with in 2 weeks.
No, I'm afraid not. I mean, I don't, you know. It's, if you've read anybody who's had it, and their detailed description of it will cure you of any kind of, I mean, you know, just the outside remote chance that you could get it. You can leave this earth a lot of ways, any number of ways. Going out drowning in your own blood in agony is, you know, not one I'm gonna try and do everything I can not to go out that way.
Yeah, that's not on my list. Did y'all see the guy from Succession died today? I can't remember his name. He had COVID-19.
No. From where?
He was an actor. He's 69. I can't remember his name, but he played in that show You on Netflix and Succession.
Oh,
I know John watched
Succession.
He may know his name.
Yeah, he's a character actor. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, Russ. He was in Desperately Seeking Susan back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name?
Mark
horrible.
Blum?
Yes. So.
Okay. I'm seeing pictures of him. I don't recognize him. But anyway, we got to run. Dr. Vol, you be safe this weekend, brother.
All right. Y'all have a good weekend. Stay safe.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Vol, checking in. Bear, thank you, man. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
You too, brother.
Big thanks to Tanner Carson for helping us out the past couple of days. Great work by you, Tanner. You be safe this weekend, and y'all take care of yourselves as well. We'll do it again Monday, 3 to 6, here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Thanks for checking it out.